7, over to you. We try to finish at 6. 6 latest paragraphs, if you don't want to write it, you know, before the sermon, every Madan this morning, no TV camera is here, so now we just didn't want to work. At third check, we did what we could, we went out in detail, many dessert plans on the project, and I'll ask my colleague Peter Cortez to take us through the brief presentation. We have given one of another staff the document to make copies for me after. If it is fine with you, we can proceed with the presentation.
Afternoon, Chair. Afternoon, thank you. My name is Peter Curtis. I'm the Senior Manager of Marketing and Competition Analysis at Data in this project. What we have in front of us today is after listening to the comments that were raised by members, we were asked a lot of questions about what is phase one, what is phase two, what does that mean? And so what we did this afternoon is trying to break that down as well as show some timelines in terms of deliverables. So phase one, the objective of phase one is to define the market, evaluate the effectiveness of competition of the market, and pair those licensees with significant market size. Why that is important is that you cannot impose any sort of firm-specific price control or any other type of remedy on somebody without having evaluated whether the market power that they have is a problem or not. So remedies are not related to whether you have significant market power. They are related to whether your significant market power has an impact on the market structure. So I could have significant market cards such as ETM or used earlier, but because ETM is small, they have no impact on price. Whereas if I'm a big company and I can control access to my clients, I obviously have impact on price. So any pro-competitive remedy is dependent on the status of the firm in the market. So pro-competitive remedies are specific to firms, not to industries. And that was partly what we were talking about earlier this morning, about interconnection obligations that are industry-wide, such as the obligation to interconnect, and then potential pro-competitive remedies, which would then be firm-specific, based on the firm's position in the market. The work we have underway is on the 15th of September when we present to Parliament. We mentioned the release of a questionnaire. And the objective of the questionnaire is to evaluate the effectiveness of competition. That was released on the 9th of October. The responses are due on the 20th of November. They have a 30 business day comment period. The analysis of the questionnaire and the write-up of this work is to take place, obviously, from the final day of submission up until March 2010. In terms of timeline, one very important issue that the Competition Commission continually stressed in its presentations is that any positions made must be defensible. In the sense that if the regulator is going to do a bank position, it has to be able to defend its position. And one of the concerns that could come up in terms of the timeline is that licensees make the extensions in terms of submitting information. The authority would have to review whether that is necessary or not, and then go forward. But that would happen at that point in time. If that happens, the authority will then have to make a decision as to whether the extension will be granted. If it is granted, it has an impact on the timeline of the project. Phase two, apologize for the font. This is where the actual important work takes place. We've potentially identified that a firm has been an extended market power also has an impact on the market structure, and therefore we would be designing a pro-competitive remedy that has an impact on that as it occurs. And in that case, we have to evaluate which pro-competitive remedy, or for example, transparency, private transparency of costing, access to your network at different levels of the network infrastructure, or for example, price control, the authority has to evaluate which pro-competitive remedy would be applicable, and then design the pro-competitive remedy which would then be put in place. And in this case, what we've got here for in terms of deliverables, everybody's spoken a lot about program information. We have it. We are reviewing it in terms of its use and its applicability in terms of developing potential price control remedies if deemed necessary. And that we will have as an internal deliverable by the 1st of February 2010. And we will also be reviewing the need for other potential remedies such as regulation financial accounts. Now that is what COCAM is, regulation financial statements, where the regulated state, the information it seeks from specific firms in a specific format, and it gets it on a defined reporting format so that the authority continually is up to date as to what is happening in those firms. For example, everybody has been talking about mobile call termination. So what is the cost of mobile call termination? The authority would have to design a reporting structure such that those costs are revealed to the authority, and that's called regulatory financial reporting. So it's not the same as your standard financial reporting. Standard financial reporting obviously doesn't go into that sort of detail. It's a regulation that requires that sort of information to be made public, when not public, to be made available to the authority. And the authority would have to define and design how it would want to receive that information. One of the risks we do have to the timing issues is in terms of the costing model. If the authority is to consider the imposition of a price control, there may be need for further public consultation regarding the first-hand information. At the moment, what the authority has to have is information submitted under the license obligations of the previous act. That information actually may not be sufficient design an effective pro-competitive remedy. It's just a concern raising debt. If the authority is in a position to say, actually, we don't know enough, we will have to extend our timeline to get more information or extend the project plan somehow. Once the definition of the market phase one has been complete, as well as the design of the remedy is being complete, we then have to put it all into the regulation. And that would be under Section 67.4 of the ECA, and that regulation would include the definition of the market we intend to impose remedies on. It would be the methodology the authority used to determine and evaluate the effectiveness of the competition. These are all required in the Act. It would identify the very competitive remedy that the authority wishes to impose, and it would all be supported by a position paper explaining why the report may be considered. And that the authority intends to have complete for in terms of draft regulations released for public comment on the 30th of March 2010. Now, obviously, there is the public consultation process for draft regulations, and depending on the response, the authority may not be in a position to go to the final regulation phase yet. There may be a need to hold not just one round of public hearing, but possibly two. This has happened in the past, where public submissions have raised further questions or concerns that the authorities have to, on a defensible basis, go back and do some further work or evaluate whether the issues that stakeholders raise are valid or not. And sometimes that has to come to the timeline. However, if that doesn't happen, we envisage that final regulations with regard to this market, if so defined, could be in place by the 1st of June 2010.
time, man. Each year, it's normal that the finances like that, companies like road, like things, etc. So, you, in terms of the law, are you only going to use the latest financial information? Because then is the old book that starts on your not that. So, my question is, do you have to do this thing again properly now? Okay, to rely on that. And secondly, when you issue this regulation, will this cover both the interconnection and the final video device as well? Or is it a separate for the project?
The
thank you. Ms. Chen, Honorable Chairman, the question is whether the cooperative information would be, if I answer the question right, would be outdated or not, whether we got to rely on new information. What is happening? Actually, at the moment, the operators are not obliged to make this file, to give up the cooperative report. But the latest information we have, that is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the year is June 2009. Information that can still be used and give a good picture of what the cost structure looks like within those companies. The other question, I didn't quite get the other part of the question. Oh yeah, the issue of whether the reduction in the cost that will have an impact on the aggregate level is something that we hope will happen. But we are already ready to look at the situation, to be find out that there is no real filter of the reduction at the wholesale level. Normally, even our jurisdictions would look at, they tend to look at the wholesale level and then expect to see a filtering of those benefits come to the retail level. But as I'm saying, we are already preparing ourselves to take action in the event that we don't see any immediate impact, positive impact at a particular level.
So you won't regulate both at the same time?
No, this is not the intention. The intention is to tackle at a wholesale level with the expectation that it will filter through in a time that is not within a short period of time, and perhaps within immediately.
In the current financial year, which ends at the end of March, the focus has been on this exercise, the wholesale market with a specific reference to continuation. Now, going forward, in the next financial year, we continue with the outstanding work on the call to change the market, which is going through to the local loop and one of the currency markets. And also at the same time in the next financial year, we'll then begin work on the retail market in the second. So that's what we're going to do in the next financial year. And for this financial year, this is what we will be working on. And as Peter indicated, we took the advice from Honorable Member Colon, that we should accommodate some unforeseen circumstances in the course of consultation. And out of doing that, we then have a program that's going to end at the end of June instead of the end of March as initially presented to the committee. So we did take advice to allow this kind of unforeseen circumstances, like in some instances, we may figure out from external sources, and that may affect the time frame. I don't believe that the heaven as presented now are open and enough to contribute to this exercise.
Right.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now we are at 2 June 2010. My question, Chairperson, is, and I know you cast that also complaint in the past about Chapter 10, would it not be quicker to amend the Act and to get to a sooner than 2010? And if we need to amend the Act, which part of the Act is giving you the problem as you have described this morning?
Thank you, Madam, thanks for the question. If I may, this is my personal opinion. Chapter 10 is not hard. It is not complicated. It is learning what it is and then doing it that has been complicated for the authority. The reality is the authority had in 2004 the COCAM regulations put in place that mentions the opportunity to regulate prices down to cost-based pricing. However, the government of the day at the time was going through a policy flip-flop in terms of changing the licensing regime of telecommunications from an exclusive licensing regime, which was the Telecommunications Act in 1996, to the Electronic Communications Act, 2005, which came into place in 2006. So the authority or the regulator at the time was in a bit of a position where they had completed one body of work under the Telecommunications Act, which could have achieved one or two things under the Telecommunications Act. New policy came into place in terms of the Electronic Communications Act. The authority had to relook at how it did things, relearn at how it did things, and we showed earlier this morning where in that learning process we had made one or two errors, for example, putting in the interconnection regulations that were released in 2007, putting parking matters in there, which was an error. This is a matter of institutional learning and sort of creative destruction, moving from one policy approach to another. Chapter 10 is not hard. It's learning how to do it that has remained the authority's challenge.
I also asked, you didn't really answer my question properly this morning when I asked you about the policy director from the minister. You said to me that as if you are part of the public, that you will make your comments and send it to the minister. That's what you told us this morning. I went to check the ECA Act, and it basically says that the authority is obliged to consider the policy directives issued by the minister, and that's section 3.4. Now, why did you tell us this morning that you will advise the minister? And you told us this morning that you are going to make a submission. I know that it's been contested and published for comment for 30 days, which expire on the 15th of November. So I just declare us in this morning's answer, please.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Is it correct to say that the Act says that in executing its duty, the authority must consider policies issued by the minister. So must consider policies issued by the minister. But then the same law says that when the minister issues that policy, the policy must first go through a round of public consultation before it finalizes the policy. So once it finalizes the policy, the authority will have to consider that minister and the policy director in whatever it does. All the things that the policy directive is drafted for has been issued for public consultation. going to contribute to that process of shaping whatever will be the final directive. And as soon as that final directive is in place, we will then have to consider it in doing our work. It is our understanding that the ministerial directive does not and cannot amend the decree. So that which is in law will have to be done in state. And in the process, settling whatever issues will have arisen from the ministerial directive. So that is what we're doing. We indicated the advice to the ministry that we were going to participate in the process. And once the final directive is considered, they will take the whatever the outcome into consideration.
And what
does
not really do thereafter, after the final policy directive has come out? What process will then follow?
We were directed at the state to preempt, because we suppose that other stakeholders are also going to make input to the minister and to the policy directive. So until that has been fully set up and the final directive is granted, I think it would be difficult to say what will happen. All what we think that all the policy directive in its current form is a draft for public consultation.
We really understand that. You said so three times already. We understand that. In terms of the procedure, say for instance the final directive is issued by the minister, it's issued to ICASA. I am asking you, when that final policy directive arrives at ICASA, what is the procedure, the processes that you need to follow? I'm sure that it should be prescribed somewhere in regulations. What do you do with the policy directive from the minister? But I also think that is this the first time that a minister issues a policy directive to the ICASA?
Okay, that's all.
Thank you. In previous years, whenever we receive a policy directive, we need to apply online. What we then do is we invite our legal team on board, and we look at how to implement the policy directive. Our key consideration in that process is that the policy directive must align with the law before us. And we get to that process only once the policy directive has been, at the consideration of the policy directive, we only get to that point once it has been finalized, but it's after the public process. So it is, I have to submit to you that we cannot articulate our view until that process is done. Otherwise we could enter legally, we are then preempting the process. So I must respectfully submit that we will reach a point where we will officially consider the funding director. And
make our statement public. I don't want to grab a dialogue here. But if you are going to wait for that final directive, and why do you now make an input in the process before the final directive? That's why I say it counts as acting as part of the public. And the gentleman before you said that you have indicated to the minister that you are going to make input into the policy directive. She is now saying that no, you have to wait till the end until the final policy directive, then you consider, then you see whether it complies with the law. So, it can't be both. You can't be part of the public process and then let all you say, but we still have to consider which one of the two is it now? That's my last question. I also can get that right now.
Yeah, very quickly said. I think what we did is that the minister has issued a policy directive for public consultation and draft. Now, in the meantime, as we have presented to you, we are working on implementing Chapter 10 as per the outline that we presented. Now, when the ministerial policy directive comes, then there would be a need for determination at the authorities level as to how it fits in, into the process that is already ongoing as to the commitment that we have made to that. So we are not going to discount the body directly, but it is going to be factored into the process that is already underway. That's all I say. It is difficult at this stage because as the minister receives input from various stakeholders, no one knows how the final code directive is going to look like. We are not able to know that because that will depend on the contributions from various stakeholders. For example, the code directive is draft form says that services must be done by November, the end of November this calendar year. It may happen that out of public consultation, the minister chooses to extend that in the process. So we don't want to ask the minister, except indicating to the minister that in the meantime, we are implementing what is in the law, and whenever ministerial directives come, we then effect them into whatever we will be doing. So when we continue in the meantime, in terms of what we have presented?
I understand that.
Maybe
it's right here. I think what Patricia is asking is, how advisable is it for you to make an input in the public participation process on the draft legislation? And then later on when the election is finalized, for you still to then apply your mind independently? Because the public can do that. An organization out there, companies, industry, all of them can comment on the ministry. And then it's finished for that. Then we finalize it. But in your case, you the implementing authority, you might be the implementing authority of the director, and whether it was the most advisable thing to actually believe that you ought to be a member of the family or an ultimately. That's the question that I think is put. Now it's a question of practice. And I don't know why the precedent has been previously whether in the past how you whether you ordinarily made these comments. But isn't it something that is worth considering? Because you might indicate to the minister that the draft policy document is a problem that I have. He then just leaves out to me and then issues the policy director and then tells you to do this. And then you're faced with a situation where you must consider it now, but you've already expressed your view on that, and I ask you to decide it. Then you must act either supporting it or against it, or contrary to it. So that, I think that's the issue that she's raising.
Thank you.
Thank you. The issue about us having to have input into the policy directive is actually in the Act, the very CA, Section 35A. We state that when issuing a policy direction under subsection 2, the minister must consult the authority. So that is part of consulting the authority.
Yeah, but not the authority consulting the minister. Because that is what you said, that you have given.
No. You have given notice to the minister that you're going to make as a stakeholder when I make an input here. The Act says that the minister must consult the authority.
Yes, so during that stage of consultation, it actually runs parallel with the consultation that takes place for the public. Now, why we are saying there's nothing that we can do for now, it is because when the input has been received by the minister is going to take into consideration whatever that he has received from any other person, and maybe the form and shape of the policy directive might change from what he right now. So that is why, as the customer is saying, it is not possible for us to preempt as to what we are going to be doing in terms of the policy direction because we don't even know what the ultimate end product of that policy direction is going to be. Because it might change depending on the input from the public. Thank you.
In the first presentation, we were given the impression that the CASAI finished the phase one. Now they are preparing to start the phase two, the term of the initiality presentation. And now in terms of this first light in this presentation, in terms of phase one, I think work underway. We are mentioning that a number of items there. And from the 9th of October until March 23rd, and we put that under phase one. Are we done with phase one, or are we still within phase one in terms of our processes? Because initially, in pretty much as we are already starting phase one. So, the second question, in the first presentation, under the that talk to regulatory different, there was something called the Section 4B inquiry. Can I get the difference of that process and the in terms of the this presentation under phase one, where you said declare those licenses with the scale market power? Because you said in terms of the 2007 Section 4B inquiry, all network have SMP for call termination. I think that was the finding of the inquiry that was said. So now what's the difference? Can you assist me to understand that? And in terms of also in terms of timeline under slide one, where you talk of right up of the report, you say from January to March. Can I be assisted to understand why you are taking so many months to write a report? Maybe it's the term how you say to write a report, but for me, my understanding of writing reports, you can take it in one day or a few hours if you are writing a report. But in terms of your jargon, there is something that I'm requested to be assisted. But lastly, I think, Chair, this question is bothering me. What is it that changed this presentation or prolonged this presentation from March to June? Because it's the very same team that came to us and said that by end of March 2010. And now, after a few hours, the very same team now is saying no by June. The final regulation by 6 June during the World Cup. And we even said it will be an Easter present because it's no longer a Christmas present. It's an Easter present. It's Easter present. Now it's no longer an Easter present. I want to understand that because it will assist us to understand what type of in the institution that we are dealing with here.
I think when Kaza Mahale presented earlier on, he indicated that in March we're going to issue draft regulation. I have collected the presentation. And members said that they want the end game to be indicated. Not just when draft regulations were going to be issued. But there was also an advice from Honorable Member Kurami in saying that we need to also. I'm not saying that it was a common cause to argue that in the process of planning, we should be accommodate unforeseen circumstances, and Peter was explained and outlined the potential risks that we may be met along the way. So the initial presentation was based on everything being equal since the beginning as planned. But then, as the presentation indicated, we had to accommodate some of the potential risks that we may be along the way. That's what informed the change. Now, third question.
Check. Follow up. Now, because I think they came with the first presentation without considering the possibility of delay and things like that. Well, for me, I think that a simple or basic principle of project management and planning that sometimes you did not, it might happen, so there will be some challenges or from operators and things like that, and the delays and things like that. That is my serious problem, sir. That's why I'm asking this question, because this question will tell us what kind of institution that we are dealing with in terms of planning.
Yes, sir. I think the underlying basis around the difference is that the first presentation only spoke to the issuance of draft resolution. It did not indicate the process after the issuing of the draft regulation. That's the thing in just that it needs to take into account the advice which the honorable members about to withdraw, about to draw the advice that came. But I think what that's in addition to say that it was taken into consideration, and I thought that was maybe to also indicate that we do take into account things that are being raised in the house. Now, in terms of the 2007 document, at the time of this start when it was done in 2007, focus was on, at that point in time we had a fewer operators than we have now. And as you all know, after the publication of that document, we then converted so many licenses, which were not there. They are currently over 500 licenses that have been introduced as part of the license conversion process. So what we're going to do, we will do a review, just waiting on the basis of what we have from 2007, and cover all the other new licenses. We said earlier in the morning that we have to look at the total picture before we deal with those licenses that have been significant market power. It is not going to be a serious change to update that document. Chair yourself, you indicated that the work done in 2007 was based on historical information, and a number of things have happened in the sector ever since 2007, including the introduction of the Abyssal Player. And we need to make sure that whatever the final determination does improve the same development in the sector.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a couple of practical things. We heard a lot of on theoretical aspects, but the people outside, they want to see something happening on the ground, things changing their lives, and they are looking at the car farm to produce that. I think there's a couple of questions here. We've talked a lot about the interconnection fee. This morning, the council said to us that the consultation with the telephone companies actually broke down on Friday, as I see. In the first place, it's very important for the council to engage with the telephone companies, and I'm sure ICASA exactly knows what the cost structure of the cell phone companies is. So my first suggestion is, we are sort of beating around the bush now. The cell phone companies, this is the interconnection fee, this is the cost, this is your profit, okay. And come forward. CELC said to us the other day, they will test on 75, but as I heard on the radio the past weekend, CELC and Vodacom prices are a bit higher than the 75 cents. So I want to suggest to ICASA you know what is economical, viable for the cell phone companies. If they could start with 20 cents a couple of years ago, and they are now on 1.25 rand, you know what is viable for these companies. And I think the public will kiss your feet if you come forward with something. Maybe they will kiss the portfolio committee's feet, Mr. Ismail Dadi. That's the one thing. And I think we mustn't forget that also Telkom and the unbundling, that last mile. We mustn't not focus on that last mile. Telkom is getting away very, very lightly on this whole issue, but they are also culprits. And that is, you must force them to come forward with certain solutions. I read an article during the weekend in one of the Sunday papers. Now, we've got this whole Seacom, undersea cable and everything, but if you look at the diagram, now, in the first place, the broadband is very, very expensive in South Africa. And we actually want broadband to make communication easier and to make it effective for all the people. But the ordinary person can't afford that high prices of that broadband internet. So there is clearly a big, big problem. The market is there, so there must be something done. I want to know now, in the first instance, what is Ikhana going to do to engage as soon as possible with the cell phone companies? Because you are the regulator, not this portfolio committee. What are you going to do? And give us a couple of ideas. What exactly are you going to do? Because we have to solve this high interconnection thing, nothing sort of drift away, we won't forget about it. And how are you going to engage all the stakeholders to do something about this? And, you know, we spent, as I remember it correctly, 8.5 billion or 4.5 billion. On this Seacom. Newtel is the biggest user of Seacom. We are building, erecting all this first world technology and everything. Just another example. They took the movie Titanic. I think in South Korea, it took 45 or 46 seconds to upload. In South Africa, it took 9 minutes and, say, 40 seconds to upload the Titanic. So we are way, way, way behind. And the people are paying for that. And I don't think it's so, so difficult to change the whole situation. Because the people of South Africa is suffering because of this. This 515% price hike over the past years. That is, it's unforgettable that he can't allow that.
Unforgivable.
Unforgivable. Thank you. I'm only volunteering for my own translator, and she's the leader of a political party. How privileged can one be? Thank you, Stephen.
I think you're probably listening to the hearing, Mr. Andrew, but I think he's celebrating the appointment of Mr. Stephanie. That's just what we're thinking after the hearing. Mr. Stephanie was on the stronger side.
I think he has order now, I guess.
Right. You can't tell the point, Mr. Parani, in my story?
Chair, we have already indicated that all the stages that have been applied to Parliament today will be subjected to public consultation. And as indicated earlier in the morning, this is not to please industry tell us what to do, but to tell us what we think about the progress going forward. The decision ultimately lies with the authority. At present, four councillors have been assigned so that we take more resources and focus those resources to this new project. And once this is done now, there are discussions with the minister to ensure that these timelines that are reflected here also form part of the performance agreement which I think should be signed before the end of the next month, so that individual people should be held accountable for the work that we do or they do not do at CAR. So that matter has also been factored in the performance management contract that we are about to sign with the Minister of Communication. Chair, lastly, let me just say something which I plead with members not to see as an issue. You see, in the last panel that we were referring to, this project was undertaken side by side with other projects that have gone very well at the authority. One was being undertaken together with the National Convention, whereby honorable members were given us a timetable to convert all licenses, including vans, so that they are in line with the ACA. We are able to do that with the limited legal issues. Secondly, this project was being undertaken at a time when we're beginning work on this terrestrial television, and the work that we've been doing in that regard is at an advanced stage. We also have to set the CCC, the Complaints and Compliance Committee. At the same time, that has been successful. The CCC is operational. At the same, during the same period, we had to integrate the postal regulator into the CARPOL, and that was done successfully without issues. And work was also done on the front end. So this is not an excuse for this project, but it's to say that at the same time that we've been grappling with this project, with the acknowledged witnesses that has been expressed by members, a lot of work has been ongoing at the authority, and most of the projects that we have undertaken have been completed without the legal glitches. And as I said, more resources in the council level are being focused on the project, and that will also be reflected in the performance management contract that members of council are going to be signing with the minister. So on the basis of the work that has been done successfully in other areas of work, we plead with the committee to appreciate that and that we are going to focus on this and make sure that it is achievable. And it will be fair perhaps for the committee to even indicate maybe several reports that the authority should give until that maybe after every 2 months, write reports to Parliament to indicate to Parliament what progress is being made in regard to implementing this, so that we don't need in June want to find that the work has not been done. And we welcome any opportunity to do that. In fact, even voluntarily will be undertaken to address the Parliament on regular basis in terms of the implementation of this.
The problem of March is that it is that it means that during the World Cup, the pain will be less because there will be a festival of soccer. And it's fine, it can move to June. It could be that myself. No, it's only like but so they choose to take it to June to want to do the World Cup is fine. They will realize later after June that they will be removed to go to the interview after the World Cup proceeding. So no, I'm joking. But hey, look, the issues, there are two issues raised by Kawaz that we cannot respond to. I'm probably be able to raise it. It was the issue of writing report, whether it's the issue of technology, this long time of writing report, and the issue of phase one, where are we starting exactly? Are we starting at phase two or starting at phase one? Currently, with the process. And that particular plan. But the issue which I wanted to understand is that I understand that the deadline has been moved to accommodate unforeseen circumstances. But I don't understand what does that mean. Does that mean
the projection for ICASA is in March. But if there are other things which might come in between, that's what we should do. Or everything has been revised to fit exactly into the distinction between the two. Look for me if the addition of the 2 months or so is not related to accommodation or 3 months, the unforeseen circumstances. I'm sure we'll be working under the assumption that everything, you know, in science, they will say, and this economist, they will say, everything remains constant. No change at all. So if there is no legal challenge, no extension request, that existing is so much. I just want to understand that that's what it meant. Or the revised is complete to fit in June, and that's the final date in terms of this. But the other things here which I wanted to raise is a little bit into the. I think that the community we have also done that because we think better understand that the ICASA now has got nothing to do with the operator. There is no engagement between health technician, doctors, waiting, whether moral or immoral. The duty of ICASA is to regulate. See, if we don't get it here ourselves as a community, why trouble? But we must understand from after this meeting that their duty is to regulate, their moral immorality, they must really to fix. There's immorality and immorality to so that they change the society, so that when they pass on, they go to heaven and so on and so on. But in this instance, ICASA is regulated. Not better engagement. With all the other issues we have said that the things are supposed to attend at other times so on. With all that kind of thing. But now we want them to regulate, so we want to give them a stage so that if it's what they commit themselves as a process now, we know that at least there will be a World Cup speech. Because we need to communicate this during the World Cup. And you will have more money to communicate at a particular point and so on. But I'm raising that just so that you can find out that at the point. Because we should not go out of this meeting and still think that the customer must go to operate and tell them to reduce or immoral situation and other things and so on. Then the second issue, sir, is that you see, in the morning there was the issue of the other 38 or so projects which are also running in the car. Now, I raised certain issues which are linked to the issue of admission competition and so on. But what I don't know, where those issues which I raised are also part of the 38 projects which currently are coming on the car. And they raised the issue to say, you see, they cannot change women as they wish because the strategy, PMA, and so on. so it means the other issues are not part of the case. It must wait for the next one to study. So that the future, they put them in, but now they cannot change them. I still wanted to collect the right around that, so that if they are part of the case, it becomes the issue of practical where you can run maternal, or if they are not part of the state, it's possible that those issues are also left up, those are important to deal with. How long we have been talking about the local loop advantage, although they are saying it's also linked to the chapter 10. Some of those issues are also that what we see in chapter 10 is to do those issues. If that is the case, it will be fine, but I'll go and verify outside with the other people whether it's true. That is not going to be chapter 10 and so on, before the 18 years issues, because there are also parts of competition. And now we need the issue of forecasting. What will be the impact with 2010 if we went to 2010 World Cup with the unbundling of the local level time, which is the forecasting? We are not going to give the South African an opportunity, unlike currently in the situation and so on. So those are the issues that I was trying to get in terms of trying to carry this problem. But if it's not feasible, we don't need, some of us, we don't want to put them in a situation where they commit on things which they might not be able to fulfill practically. So, Chef, those are my questions. Just you wanted to clarify around those particular matters. Yeah.
Okay, if you then could deal with the issue of everyone in the report writing project.
Thank you, Chair. There's an internal process in SAFA which is to ensure that a rigorous analysis of whatever work is put out for that by the final state of the draft for public comment or in any case regulation. When it says it's final, it doesn't have to go that way. In terms of getting our report, our work, we do have external experts that are helping us with this work. They have a set deadline in which to give us information, which is the 31st of December. We take into account the fact that the castle will keep it most important. The castle will effectively be on holiday until the 15th of January. But then I have to take into account that there's a number of steps that have to be taken. The committee which leads this project has to review the work that is received by the consultant, and then has to draft what would be seen as a public document. That will take time because of the level of detail and the level of review and proofreading that goes into that. That document then has to go through to our legal division to ensure that they haven't skipped any legal matters. And we don't want to be held ransom by protest here. That is something we want to avoid. And then from that, we then have to submit it to the committee and have to submit it to the council of the authority for approval before sending release. That will take time. The writing of the report and the conclusion of the report and the committee structure can take up to 4 weeks. And the legal review of that, there's a given timeline in charter of 14 days for that. And then then it will be submitted to council for review, and hopefully that will be done within a week. So that sort of takes it to that explain the length of time.
Okay, there was another question about the relationship between the 2007 West and the West Protection
Report. The document that was released in 2007 mentioned the definition of the market, and it mentioned those with significant market power. However, as I said earlier, the remedy that you put in place is based on the it's proportionate to the effectiveness of competition in the market. So in terms of phase one, what the questionnaire that's released, that has been released, aims to do is to bolster that statement for phase one, which is the effectiveness of competition. So if phase one has three components, definition of the market, declaration of the SNP, and evaluation of the effectiveness of competition, what the authority is doing now in terms of the questionnaire that's been released is to finalise that very question, the evaluation of the effectiveness of competition. That is what the remedy will be based on. We cannot move forward without a clear picture of that, especially given the change in licensing environment and the number of licensees who are now able to offer a range of services which were not available previously.
Then there could be the reiteration that we are no longer involved in the negotiation with the operators whatsoever, except that we would only consult with them insofar as the process that we apply to is concerned. So we are surely out of the negotiation with them.
In the current financial year, we do not have local income banking. Our aim is to have a strategic session as we do at the end of the year and plan to place local income banking in our next financial year. And of course,
we then have to attack the budget that would go along that and the resources required. The other one was St. Carrier Pre-Select. Again, that is not in this financial year. We will put it in the next financial year. So that ultimately we approach the our strategy is ultimately to ensure that we have a holistic approach to the reduction of costs. I think that I must emphasize that. I cannot overemphasize how important it is to have a holistic approach. And in this first session, we will identify how lot of what we focus in this financial year of reducing barriers to entry. So we address the issues of licensees, we address the issue of the fixed fees, which we will also finalize this year, and we then obviously the larger conversion process we proceeded that. Next year, in a new financial year, we will then introduce, I think there's one more project that we need to finalize, the handset subsidy. That can be finalized with financial vehicle from a project plan. Of course, it has challenges with the operators getting the same much support, and maybe we reconsidered one certain aspect of it. We've subsequently done that. And as far as we collect the committee of it, the chair of that committee is not here. It's not just about having it. She's the one who's in the hospital. But as far as I recall, that handset subsidy is also targeted for the financial year. Another possibility would also need to go into the next financial year. What we've been doing systematically, the ECA requires us, I forgot my last count, but when I prepared a submission some time back, the ECA requires us to come up with over 60 new regulations. And it also, as we do that, we also need to repeal almost roughly 70 regulations. And so it's not an easy process, but we have been trying to bite, you know, take a small bite of this big apple. And it has to be done systematically. But our intention is that next time next year, we focus on the additional
project. Chair, good addition. I think in terms of mobile number portability is currently in place. I think it was introduced two years ago. The big challenge now is to do a review of the effectiveness of the current regulation that will be produced for a mobile network capability. Because we have come to realize that very few people have got it. Initially, the expectation was that many people are going to do the musical chair. And now we want to understand what are the factors that make it difficult for people to pause. And in terms of the career legislation, we have issued the draft regulation. There is clear legislation and clear solution. So in terms of the clear legislation, the draft regulations are out for public comment, and we should be closing that the process and have the public hearing on CBS. And then with regards to the local rules, the information required to put together the national regulatory framework is available. We have consultants who are working with us on that project. All what we need to do now is to make sure that what the local group is integrated with the chapter in health process, but preliminary information and research work was done by the external consultants. We also the fifth line in number probability also. Since the next thing of in your test, we have done some preparatory work, and we will possibly conclude that in process in the next financial year. And as stated in the house, this has been as part of the aspect that is constitute the economic regulation. But when we present our business plan or annual report, some of these projects will be mentioned next week. Yeah, next week when we come back to the house, speak now to the actual project. Some of the projects will be presented and spoken to in great detail.
I'll come back next week.
Yes.
Oh, but I was going to ask you the last question, which is at your committee, but I thought I was only going to see each other after Christmas. Because they're not interesting as to get a Christmas box. I just want to ask a question that's really worrying me, Jefferson. The, I look at your process and what you want to do, accept it and really understand that. But I want to ask you that if the minister finalized the policy barrister and the minister's advice or suggested ICASA that you need to reduce the interconnection rate within a month, will you say no, you can't do it, and explain to the minister that you are busy with this process, that's going to complete it in 2022? Or are you going to, at that stage, advise the minister that you can't do it? I'm often worried about this one, because the way CAF are speaking, that they want to go full up Chapter 10, ECA, route, long route. And the minister might say to you, do it this in a month. What will you respond to if the minister do that?
Chair, because we are in the House of Parliament, we can maybe attempt to make some preliminary responses. I think we will surely look at what the minister will give to us and accordingly advise the minister as required by the ICASA Act that will certainly must advise the minister on ministerial policy and the security issues. We've already started working on our advice to the minister, and the issue of time frame will form part of the draft advice to the minister. And as indicated, it is clear that whatever work we have to do, we will have to consult and also consultation process are always around 20 working days, which stretch to about 5 days, you know, a month and a half in a different sense. So that advice will be going to the minister to indicate that let's take into account and factor the need to consult as is required to be provided by the law. Chair, to ask the question is about our previous interaction with government. We have on a number of occasions advised the government on policy matters, and our advice is always been taken in the majority of cases, except in certain instances like the one that triggered the Altec case. So we will engage with the minister, and we will not wait for the closing date for the submissions, because the law makes it clear that the consultation with the authority should be, is a matter that has to take place. So we are just finalizing our preparation. All of our saying in general is that we have indicated to the minister that in a certain space of time we will be making our advice known to the minister.
Okay.
I
want to find that one
the decision that we passed, and then after that we really seem not to understand them when we have to implement. About this question, now I've seen the phase 2, and just wanted to know whether it is in line with ECA now. Because there was a comment this morning that just prepared me at least that that said, the Telecommunications Act, I think it was an instrument to protect the operator. And at that time, I wanted to understand what it means. And
Drupal, she is asking, if I want to see people as a little bit something. Now, I want you to present us that. Once we have done this now, speaking about the question, are all those reasons you have put there going to address, are they in line with the people? Because the story, let me just make a right answer to this. Why our ethnicity is said, because that's a communication. It's long, it's only to the indication that they are going to go there. But nobody came to the committee, nobody said anything. That's why I want you to know that now can we say what you are doing is in line with the CEO.
What is correct to raise this question of how we manage the transition from the Telecoms Act into the ETA without creating a confusion in industry. And earlier on we indicated that consistent with that understanding, we're going to make sure that the valuable information that was generated is through the question process is aligned appropriately, not abruptly with the ETA. And I think Peter did make mention of that there will be that alignment with the ETA to ensure that when we implement the Quarkham as a remedy, there should be no legal contestation. So that is already being reflected into the work that we are doing in terms of the ETA.
Is that
right?
Manuel, quick issue, one thing. Is it not too much to ask next week the discussion will be here to in terms of the annual report? Is it possible to share that it was all the projects and when has been started and the condition and what council has involved all the projects with the team? This is the project, this is where it started, what is the important system. My problem is that as we have said that wherever you go, there is a feeling that the ICASA is tracking regulations and so on. And that is a general feeling in terms of people who are engaging the stakeholders and so on. Maybe it's a perception, I must say, because we cannot say it's a matter of fact. That is the perception. So if it's possible that what the use of all the process, which councillors are allocated, and how long it takes them to complete the process. All of them will start seeing outstanding when they are going to complete them. So that we will appear in terms of what we are going to do with those measures. The second issue which I'd like to propose is that maybe something we must discuss with the committee, but the next week session, it can be the normal session for 10 to 1. If you want to start to see the annual report and report time. We must start to plan now that we will be taking into my total context. So that we go enough. But part of the problem is that we end up to the right time. And I think the decision is go. I'm not sure what is the problem. But I would just say we need more time so that they present it to this area about this thing and in terms of the other points. Because we don't know the answer. How far are they and so on, but you can certainly try to indicate when they're finalizing and so on. But I think we must go down to the issues of responsibility in the capital projects and so on. I think that the issue, I hope next week still the council wants to live up to the issue that when they come back, they must also report on the relationship between the government and themselves. So I'm gathering the business so that next week when they come in accident report so that we see some a problem within the population. But my same proposal that there was a question. Why have the state aid project? Who's responsible when they complete it, that they went and so on to have the system? And so that we are clear on the condition.
Can I just share further information with the committee, maybe the research that they get it out? In a reply to a question that I took to the Minister of Communications a week, 2 weeks ago, completely formed a paper list of the outstanding ones. Since 2005 up to now, ICASA has presented and completed 14 special resolutions. There's something like 19 outstanding. And what the minister has done is to give me the ones that have been completed and the ones outstanding. And then the third thing is that information is the committee. But it doesn't stop the proposal from
that we're performing rather than sending a small delegation, etc.
So, Prabhupada, if we want to have more time, next week we go to Center, SAPC, and start our Center. No, SAPC and this new guy, they say they're not going to be on the third day after the report, but how will they want to say? His all chief executive officers know the days for 6 times they will report to the chair. If they can't comply, then they're problem. It can't become our problem. Next week, SAPC will be here, they have to report. It's probably the last opportunity we might have an interim board for them to give us an update on the progress of those kinds of things. Well, they might get any report. They might get any report today because we're not changing the program for them. If you want to spend more time with the pastor, then we might have to drop 10 days. And I want the commission to consider because we've been through the center, we've had discussions with them just a few weeks ago. And it might be more sensible because they're not supporting the center, but they're standing out of the time of the Kata and the SAP. If you agree with that, then the commission can take a seat in the Kata.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just ask a few questions directly and allow them to leave.
Translate, I think I'll be guided by you. But if you want to spend more time, if you're calling people down, then it's not fair that you see them in your apartment house.
There's a lot of money.
Because then they, the board will fly down, the staff will fly down, and I want people to come down here for half an hour for the day. I think it must be realistic. We have been at the offices. We have had engagements with them. The center report will be distributed by tomorrow. If you are unhappy with the content of the report, the substance, and you feel very strongly that you must call them, that's fine. But I don't want to call them as a formality. Because if you look at the GCIS, INC, etc., they were supposed to be here today, or if you can anything not to call them, because we feel, we look at the world some other time. So, if it's a strong view still that you must call Centex, I'll be open to that again. You can find that tomorrow, but I think at this stage I want to recommend that you consider dropping and you don't take all the rain.
Let
me call them. Right. So we call them. But then we're looking at a very long day tomorrow and it's a Tuesday, but it's fine. So we have the first day, power and stamina and time. We work to the right way. That's in your time. Anyway, thank you very much. I think we've come to the end of this session. Transport for members to a place that is outside. For those who will be transported to the office. There's a general reason for people who want to go to a place that is outside.
Yes, I'm happy.